Welcome to Cape Cast Audio 20, the local podcast from the city of Cape Coral, Florida. I'm Connie Barron. I'm the Public Information Director for the city, and this is our first podcast of the new year. My guest in studio today is our Economic Development Director, Dana Brunette. Dana, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Connie. I appreciate you having me here today.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background? We are going to talk about economic development and exactly what that term means, but tell the listeners a little bit about where you're from and why you're here.
Well, I'm from Rochester, New York. I relocated here about 4 months ago, and I've been in economic development for a little over 24 years in varying areas, including both municipal and nonprofit.
Why did you come to Cape Coral? I'm sure there are other opportunities out there for economic development professionals. Why did you choose Cape Coral?
Well, I did have some opportunities in different areas, and I chose Cape Coral because I saw a tremendous amount of challenge here, and I was looking for that in my job search because I didn't want to just go somewhere and be there. I wanted to have some challenges to help overcome and use my abilities. And I also see a tremendous amount of potential here. It's a growing city. There's a good population base, but there's a lot of holes that need to be filled in. And when I took a really hard look at it, I said, this is the place for me. It also helps that there's no snow here.
What were you doing up in New York? What was your job there?
Most recently, I worked for a nonprofit organization that did work in seven states and Puerto Rico, and I ran economic development programs in New York and Puerto Rico for them. And it was an interesting challenge because of the differing areas and different cultures. So you kind of had to switch gears all the time when you were doing this work, and what works in one location doesn't necessarily work in another. So it was an interesting challenge, but they brought me in there to turn around their revolving loan fund. It was not operating very well at the time, and I came in 8 years ago and made a lot of changes, reconstituted the loan committee, totally rewrote the loan policies and procedures, and turned things around and really put them at the forefront of what they were doing. When I left, they were operating a loan fund over $5 million, and they had a default rate of less than 1%, which is tremendous. But they were doing a lot of lending outside of what the banks normally do, so they were taking a lot more risk. So it had to operate more efficiently in order to really be able to continue and also to help recruit additional funding to do more good work.
Well, economic development, that's a catch term that has been used a lot. I've heard it ever since I've been here in Cape Coral, pretty much, and that's been since 1997. And economic development, when you have councils and you ask them what their top priority is as far as strategic planning, economic development always seems to be at the top of the list. When we talk about economic development, what are we talking about?
Well, essentially, you're talking about encouraging development that increases your tax base. One of the challenges when I came to Cape Coral was the fact that approximately 92% of your tax base was residential. And that's really not in the norms. You should have about 25 to 30% commercial tax base. So when you talk about economic development, especially here in the Cape, you're talking about increasing that commercial side of the equation. And you know, not that the residential side isn't important, but you don't want to have the burden of the tax base on the residents as much as you do on commercial. So you want to balance that off so that their tax rates are somewhat lower or more manageable as opposed to the commercial side.
Well, does one side drive the other side, residential versus commercial?
Well, they somewhat go hand in hand. You need both because as you increase your commercial, you're increasing opportunities for jobs, which means people might be coming here for jobs, buying homes. You also might have people who can't have a home right now who will transition into housing because of the jobs. So they play off each other, but you also want to make sure that you're not burdening one side more than the other.
Now, you've been here in Cape Coral just for a few months. What is your assessment so far of the city of Cape Coral and its potential with regard to economic development? And then what are some of the challenges? You already mentioned that we have a very low percentage of commercial tax base. What are some of the challenges as well? So assessment and challenges.
Well, a lot of what the assessment told me was, you know, obviously it's still a growing city. There's a lot of growing pains. We're still learning how to do things. And unfortunately, the major growth spurt that you experienced over the last several years kind of amplified that effect, because the housing was growing at a tremendous rate and the housing prices were also increasing, and they were kind of artificial, so to speak. And we all know what happened when the correction hit. But with that correction comes more opportunity, because now you have affordable housing. So when people take a look at relocating here for a job or a company coming down here, you're looking at a much more manageable residential housing cost, so that the people who come down can afford the housing, and the people who get the new jobs can also transition into housing. That's an important side of the whole thing.
Well, and it also helps with the price of commercial property too, because the value of property has declined along with the home values too.
To a certain extent it does, but the one situation that hampers what we're trying to accomplish is a lot of these people bought these properties during the heyday, so they paid a lot more than what they're worth now. So they're trying to recoup their money in some way, shape, and form through either a sale or a rental situation, which makes it very difficult. So we have to try and find ways to make the opportunity more competitive for them. And, you know, getting the right clients to come in, offering the proper incentives, and setting them up so that everyone is making out is the goal. Achieving that's going to be where the work comes in.
You know, we hear a lot from at least in the business community, we will occasionally hear that Cape Coral has a difficult business environment because of permitting, because of land development regulations. What are your thoughts about Cape Coral as far as the opportunity and the challenges that might come from internally with regard to permitting and regulations?
Well, there is some of those what are perceived barriers as it relates to developments. And the good news is that internally here at City Hall, people are aware of it, and they are working to improve that situation. I've been working with staff down in DCD, and they have the Business Advocates, which I think is a tremendous program. It helps people on the outside who don't necessarily have the knowledge of getting through the process of getting permits and everything in place for them to do their development. So having someone on the inside who can more or less hold their hand and take them through the process makes it much easier and more what we want to call business friendly. They're not on their own. They're not out on that island trying to figure out what the process is. So that's just one thing. And then as far as the land development regulations, yeah, there's a need to really be a little more competitive and bring ourselves in line with other municipalities. And we are taking a look at that. Unfortunately, it takes time. But again, you know, we are a growing city. We're not a mature city. Where I came from, everything was in place and everything was easier. Here, you know, you have the growing pains of an area that's really trying to catch up, so to speak. And then you also have the fact that, you know, we have to pay the bills as we go along. So, you know, it's a tough combination. But realistically, if people want to be here, and a lot of people do, there's a way to get around that. And, you know, we'll find that. We'll work together here in City Hall, and we'll work with the people on the outside to find the right formula to get it done.
And business friendly does not mean free and without any oversight or any permitting regulations or guidelines at all. It just means, with our business advocates, like you said, walking them through the process. And we have received some great compliments for our business advocates program.
Yes, and you know, that's what you want to see. You know, when you're receiving some of that the positive accolades, you know you're headed in the right direction. And when you have something that's working, you want to make sure that you maintain it and augment it, and then maybe even take it to a different level. And that's what I'm looking to do here, working with the other departments. We have to learn how to get ourselves to that next level. And, you know, we can't have the attitude of, well, that's always the way it's been done. Can't do that. We have to get out of the box and really start trying to find a way to set us apart from other municipalities. So when someone's looking to locate a business, we will stick out, and then they'll understand that this is a good place to be. I want to grow with them.
I know you've only been here for a short time, Dana, but have you thought about or even developed any strategies, maybe brought something from New York that could address some of these challenges and some of the problem areas that you have seen in just the short period of time you've here?
There is some things that I brought with me that I would like to utilize, but I also have to keep in mind that, you know, this location may not be ready for it. You know, as I said, we're still experiencing some growing pains. But I really think one of the things I'd like to try and do is find a way to get some alternative funding availability in place for businesses that want to start up or expand or even relocate. Banks can only do so much. They have regulations that they have to follow. So if we can get an alternative lending program in place, it might support some of that development because the banks will do a certain amount of it, but they can't do all of it. So we bring in an alternative lender, and they fill in the blanks, so to speak, so to help us get to that next level and to help those businesses that the banks can't fully fund.
Are those alternative lenders, are those the capital companies that have the business capital to invest?
Well, believe it or not, when we did a similar program back where I came from, it was funded by a lot of the banks because they understand the need for some of this development. And the things that we do will position a company to be ready to work with a bank. You know, I always refer to it as training wheels for banks. If we're successful helping a startup get funding and they operate successfully for 2 or 3 years, then they become bankable. And then the bank steps in and gives them a line of credit or a loan and you know, takes us out so that they are operating and with a traditional business bank relationship. And the other thing that happens is if we keep doing this successfully, the money revolves back out into the community, back and forth, so we're able to help multiple companies over time. To give you an example, back where I came from, we got a $1.5 million very low-interest loan from the federal government to do this type of lending. And we've had it in place for 12 years. And over that 12 years, the $1.5 million has created over $3 million in lending. So we've done twice the amount of lending with that same money because it revolves back to us with interest, and we're able to turn around and lend that out to someone else.
Do you think that's a program that could actually get started in Cape Coral?
Absolutely. You can do it anywhere. The problem is getting the entity set up, getting access to the capital, getting people on board, because it's not a municipal entity. It's usually a nonprofit. And it could have a relationship with the municipality, but it can't be, you know, a department of, so to speak.
Sort of like a pseudo-governmental type agency, like a CRA?
Exactly. And that's one of the ways we could look at it is developing another CRA that is concentrating in the commercial areas of the city.
What about the incentives that the city of Cape Coral does have in place? Obviously, you're talking about adding to that and enhancing those incentives. But what about the current incentives that the city has in place? Are they good incentives?
They are. And you know, the beauty of the incentives is you're always looking at how to make them better, how to adjust with time and with the changing times as far as what businesses are looking for, where they're coming from. So I'm always taking a hard look at what we're doing, what we're offering, and what the developers are looking for. And as I said, we have some, you know, we have growing pains. I mean, we're still collecting impact fees because we're still developing our infrastructure. And, you know, that's something that has to be overcome over time. So we have to do it. But how we implement it is something that, you know, might be up for discussion. But it's one of those situations where you kind of take a look at the whole program and say, okay, what can we do that is makes sense for the client while still getting the revenues necessary for the city to do what they need to do to cover our costs as we grow up.
We have up in the North Cape area the Veterans Investment Zone. Explain to our listeners exactly what the Veterans Investment Zone is and what actually and it was the Veterans Clinic that's being constructed up there that really kicked this whole VIS concept into gear. Explain to the listeners what the VIS is and what you envision the VIS becoming.
Mm-hmm. The genesis of the VIS was really the location of the new VA clinic. The existing clinic over in Fort Myers was somewhat outdated and too small to handle the amount of demand that they have. Presently, I believe there's over 220,000 eligible veterans in Southwest Florida. And you know, with a base like that, you know that there's going to be a certain amount of demand. And they needed a new location, so they decided to come over to the Cape and go into properties over in what is now the VIZ, the Veterans Investment Zone. And they're going to increase their capacity to three times that of the existing facility. And they'll be opening sometime in the spring of 2012, which we're excited about because that is going to be kind of like the economic engine for that for the VIZ. Once they're open and operating and people are coming in and out of there, you have traffic. And traffic is something that you know drives development. Other people want to be around that traffic. And we are working with a couple different developers right now that are looking to put in different retail and office, doctor's offices, things like that, that will go be in support of the VIZ and of the VA clinic. And as you see some of this development happening, it spurs additional development. People want to be around other people. They want to be able to be involved in the opportunity that presents itself with the VA clinic.
Now, is Patriot Plaza also up there?
It is. It is. Patriot Plaza fronts actually on Pine Island Road, so that would be, you know, the first thing you would see really when you're going to the clinic. So that's an optimal location because, you know, if you drop someone off at the clinic and you say, hey, I just saw a restaurant there at the corner in Patriot Plaza, I'll drop them off and go back and get a bite to eat while I'm waiting, because some of these people come in from out of town and you know, they're going to be there for a few hours. So you can sit in the waiting room and read a magazine, you can go get a bite to eat or maybe go do a little shopping.
What are some of the projects, you may not be able to talk in detail about them, but are there some projects in the works and in the hopper that the Economic Development Office is working on?
There are. Right now, we have several projects in play. There's four or five that are what I would consider fairly substantial projects. And, you know, it's a situation where, you know, you prioritize them and you see what can we get done. And where the benefits are, you know, what kind of incentives do we want to put in play? You know, how do we want to play this? And we have some really, really good opportunities on the horizon, which I think if we can land a few of these, we will build some tremendous momentum towards developing other projects. Because, as I said, people like to, when they see things happening, they like to be part of it.
When you're looking at your goals and your timeline, do you have anything in mind as far as economic development director, by the end of 2012, you would like to see this in place, or by the end of 2013, you would like to see this in place? What are your thoughts on that?
I have lots of thoughts on it, but the problem is there's so many outside forces that come into play. It makes it difficult to really pinpoint, but I will say this. My goal personally is to have an impact as far as new jobs and investment goes, because I want to see some of that I just talked about, some of that momentum. 2012 to me is a key year because prices are in line, housing prices are down. You're starting to see a lot of momentum. There's a lot of indicators that are showing that things are turning around and recovery's there. You know, the unemployment's dropping. People are starting to spend money again. You want to get, it's like getting on a wave with a surfboard. You want to ride that wave. So if we can get a few projects done this year and build some momentum, I really believe that going into 2013, we can have some really serious impacts in the city.
And so you're looking forward to at least working with the Department of Community Development, their staff, with your own staff, and even with the, obviously with the business community as well to see that happen.
Definitely. You can't do it alone. Obviously, internally, we have several different departments that we have to work with, and people on the outside as well.
Okay. Well, Dana, thank you very much for being my first guest on CapeCast Audio 20, and we'll be talking about this as we move along. See you next time on CapeCast Audio 20.